I am pumped to bring you today's episode, my friends. I drove all the way to Philly to talk to Drew and Joey, the founders of Few Will Hunt, a company that to me is saying all of the things that you and I, who are focused on winning every single moment of every single day, are thinking. These guys have nailed it. If you haven't heard of Few Will Hunt, go give them a look. The episode that we dive into today is about entrepreneurship. It's about individualism. It's about personal responsibility. It's about taking chances. It's about identity. It's about putting on a shirt and adopting a mindset, because you know that if I wear this shirt and somebody sees me wearing it and I am behaving in a way that is unbecoming of somebody else who would wear this shirt, I will not be representative of the group in a way that I would be proud of. This podcast is truly about freedom without compromise. What I also want to give you a heads up on is I have a pretty cool announcement for you. One of the things that has been a struggle for me for a long time, and anyone who's listening to this podcast knows this is true, is I don't do apparel well. I don't do retail apparel well. And so many of you have come to me and said, I want to buy an Active Life t-shirt, but I don't know where to get one. And that's because we don't have a store. So I went to my friends, Drew and Joey at Few Will Hunt, and I said, you guys represent exactly the mindset that we represent. And you guys do apparel really well. What if we collaborated on a t-shirt that we could make and sell at retail? And they said, yes. So on this podcast, I wanted to bring to you the men at Few Will Hunt who are going to be behind the design of the shirt, the distribution of the shirt, and the selling of the shirt, and the marketing of the shirt that we are collaborating with them on, for the opportunity to finally put a piece of Active Life apparel into your hands. It's a start, my friends. It is a start. It is a piece of apparel that will represent the kind of lifestyle that we know that you out there listening to this, the Active Lifer, are living or striving to live. And so as soon as the details on how you can get that go live, I will make them abundantly available to you. What I will also do is ask you, please, when you listen to this podcast, if you are somebody who would like one of the t-shirts that we're going to be selling in short order in partnership with Fuel Hunt, please send me a DM, give me your name, your phone number, and your email, and I will put you on a list to make sure I contact you personally. I will send you an email personally from my personal email newsletter account telling you, this is where you can get the apparel. This is when it goes live. We're going to have a limited size order quantity available. So you make sure that you are going to get yours before it even goes to the rest of the public. Because you listen to the podcast, and I like to take care of people who listen to the podcast. Let's get to the show. So tell me, I was going to ask what I thought was a dumb question, which is, how long have you guys been cousins for?
Yeah.
And then I realized, that's a stupid question. But then you guys told me it's not a stupid question. So talk to us. What do you mean?
Yeah. So we're cousins by marriage. So yep. when did Jay marry your mom?
I was 11, so like 20
quick
something.
Quick math,
years.
Quick math.
Yeah, like it's 20 something years.
Welcome
ago,
but to the Few Will Hunt show.
I always had, my mom's the oldest, so I always had younger cousins, and Joe was like the first like bigger cousin I ever had. That I was like, I always looked up to him. He was like doing big things when he was like, had like a full-time job like right out of college. Like he literally like was like highly sought after tech guy over here, and like so, and we always come dressed like to family parties, like highly elevated casual, and I was like, I want to be like that guy, like that's, and that's how it all really started.
I need you to be my stylist.
I've toned it down over the years. This is like elevated casual, but before this it was suits. I would love to do that for you.
I'm not kidding at all. I just told my wife, I'm like, I'm gonna talk on more stages this year, I'm gonna be on more podcasts this year, and this looks fine and cool, but I want to have like a signature look that's not he could be in a gym training sessions.
You know what's interesting? You, the from the neck up. You got a very put together look. Like you,
thank you.
A fresh
it.
Fade,
yeah.
A fresh
not
fade.
Not bad from
nice
the neck
trim.
Up. The rest is a disaster.
Well, from, from a design standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. That's not, like what, not so good from here to here,
yeah,
or 15, from here to 15% here.
15%
like,
of you is fine. Yeah. It's great. The other 85.
I love it. I love it.
I got a guy in Philly. If you're serious, we've established that your ride to Philly is pretty peaceful.
Yeah.
Right. Or at least it was today. So I got a guy in Philly to hook you up.
Give okay.
Signature style, custom suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Are those jeans from Commonwealth Barber?
They are. Yeah, yeah, nice. Shout out Commonwealth Barber. Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice.
I don't know if any. I mean, I'll take a custom suit if it. You know what? No, I do need a new suit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's
well,
do.
Well, custom, they do custom denim. Dude, yeah. Everything.
Connect.
All right.
Yeah. I need someone to say, listen, the shape of your body, the shape of your face, the shape of your ears.
Yeah. He can
right?
do that. He can do
you
that.
Need,
yeah,
you need this.
He yeah. can do that. He does full, they do full closet audits. So they'll come to your house, go through your closet, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of wow. this, replace it with all custom stuff.
Well, what's in my closet is yeah. a bunch of t-shirts that say Active Life yeah. on them. And then what's in my drawer
yeah.
is a bunch of stuff that either says Fuel Hunt on it. Or it says Active Life on it.
Well, man.
Seriously, that's about it. I have some Good Life t-shirts and they're V-necks, and that's all I got. All
right, so the Good Life stuff will probably go, but the Fuel Hunt stuff staying.
Yeah, it's definitely staying. It's definitely staying. So you asked me a good question before we started, and I really appreciated the nature of the question because there's a sign behind you that says, comfort is a slow death, prefer pain.
Yes.
Right? And you were asking, hey, are you good with that? Like, I know what your company does and I want to make yes. sure that that's cool. How do you guys describe pain when you're saying prefer pain?
Yeah. So, of course I'm going to ask that question because one of the things is, you want to help people be pain free, right? And still do what they love. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. So preferring pain, I figured maybe would not jive with that. But mm-hmm. the way we, explain pain is that it precedes your power.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the seed of your power, right? Nothing that is worthwhile doing is easy.
Mm-hmm.
There's some difficulty, there's doubt built in, right? There's fear, there's painful emotions, and sometimes it's downright painful physically, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the gym, you know, things like that. So pain is a predecessor of power, and that's mm-hmm. the way that we describe it in the
so
community.
The reason I like it is I look over there at a trust hard work sign.
Mm-hmm.
Is because the way I interpreted it was similar to what you were describing. It was the way I was interpreting it was the idea of you're going to feel pain and that's going to cause you to change. And that change is going to be an elevation of who you are. The way we describe pain is it's a negative emotional response to irritation. So I feel something. I don't like that. I've got to change. So it actually jives. Like, I don't think our clients would prefer to stay in pain.
Right.
So the literal interpretation of it, which yeah. I don't think is what you mean anyway. So I really, yeah, exactly. I actually liked it behind this.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because your clients don't prefer to stay in pain. However, they still want to do things
mm-hmm.
that require endurance, right?
Yep.
And the appetite for pain
yeah, well,
after they're healed.
Go ahead.
The painful part for them is doing the hard work and getting outside of their comfort zone and coming to you and doing what's necessary to get mm-hmm. out of pain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where the pain comes up. People like to comment on our posts and our ads, like, say, like, oh, for pain. Like,
yeah, like it's some alpha thing.
Yeah, but really.
You know, nowadays, no contacts. Like, nobody wants contacts. They want everything 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, we just posted something the other day. You know, it's a swipe. The first slide triggered everybody. Nobody took 3 seconds to swipe to the second slide. And
what was on the
context.
First slide? Was it like well, people
in
jockstraps?
It did
stuff?
Say it did say you're still not good enough, but it was it, which
you're
is
not.
True. Like, exactly. See, this is you get it, right?
But and that's what either an eagle or you're not. So
either
you're an eagle or you're not. That's,
yeah.
that's
you're one of the
that.
Few
yeah.
or you're not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The community understood it immediately, but the rest of the internet.
But that's what our friend Stu Brower talks about all the time, right? The 51-49. We, as much as we would like the 49 to become 48, the reality mm-hmm. is they're 49.
Yeah. yeah.
And if we're talking to a group of, I made this mistake over the last 3 years, frankly. 2020 kind of rocked me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'll share why. It wasn't like a, I'll just share why. It was a great year for business.
Mm-hmm.
Because when shit hits the fan, I'm the guy you want with you. Because I'm like, I'll be a dictator. I don't have to think about feelings. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And it grew the company. And I got a lot of like good feedback and a lot of critical feedback around the way I was talking. And so I started to, things are going well. So it was easy for me to say, okay, well, let me manicure it back, manicure it back, manicure it back. And then eventually I'm looking at my language and I'm like, dude, you sound like you don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
Everything is too soft. So now I've kind of taken those gloves off and trusting myself more. And I'm getting a lot more of what you're describing.
Yeah.
And people, I'm sure you get this too. And this is something that's actually interesting to me. People will come in and be like, oh, you just posted that for the clicks.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, hold on. First of all, we're on a social platform where the point is to make sure people see stuff and click on stuff. Yep. And second of all, did you watch it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do you guys deal with that?
So yeah, we've, in the beginning, I think we were guilty of that too, you know, manicuring how we really felt, you know, wearing the velvet glove over the iron fist type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we're much more iron fisted. And, you know, I think what brought that about was when we started to actually come out with our beliefs, the rules of the few, like how we live, we found our people and that validated, you know, us. But that they're still the few, not the many, you know what I mean? And you're going to get comments from the many. And to be honest, I was telling Drew, like, I'm in my Bruce Lee era now. Like, I could give a fuck. Like, I know my people. I know what mission we're on. We're mission driven. And that's that.
All right. So now we obviously have to go backwards. What are the rules? What's the mission?
Yeah. So our mission, our big mission, is to restore the dignity of hard work. That's our big mission. We are a community that lives by a code of conduct. Like nowadays, everybody thinks of us as a clothing company, right? Which we are now.
Yeah.
But we started, that's a facet of us.
Right. I don't think of you as a clothing company, to be clear.
That's because you're awesome, number one. You're our people, right?
Thank you.
So everybody thinks of us that way. Most people think of us that way nowadays. But our roots are as a community that lives by a code of conduct to create change in society. That change is created by living the rules of the few so that we can strengthen ourselves first and in turn strengthen society, restoring the dignity of hard work. There's 11 rules of the few. One of them is prefer pain, right? As you see on the flag. But that's really the rules of the few. They're a code of conduct that we live by. They cover everything from giving to pain to risk to a pledge to die growing.
My favorite and the last bonus rule is you are who you hunt with, right? Like, which embodies, that rule embodies our mission and our community in that single sentence.
Yep. So. Yeah, for sure. So I don't see many clothing companies out there with codes of conduct. I don't see many clothing companies out there who get emails like we do that say, I can't order a shirt from you because I haven't earned it yet.
People say that to you?
All the time.
That's cool.
I get emails literally all the time. Hey, I'm on your list. I love your emails, Joey, but just want to let you know, I haven't placed an order yet because I haven't earned the shirt.
How do you respond to that? Sorry, Drew, you were going to say something.
Back to the rules, is like it shows everyone what it is we stand for and what we hold true with our values. And when you're spending your hard-earned money that you worked hard for on a piece of clothing or anything, you're telling the world, like, this is what I stand for. These are the values I relate to. Mm-hmm. That's what's so important about having them for us.
That's what I see you guys as. I see you guys as an identity brand, not as a clothing brand.
The
clothing to me, like, I'll be honest with you, because I've been lying the rest of the time, right? So I'm going to start being honest. When I throw a Fuel Hunt shirt on, I feel like I need to carry myself differently. I can't show up to a Muay Thai class in a Fuel Hunt shirt and be like, I just need to take a quick break.
I think that's why, you know, that's part of the reason why I get the emails I do. And to answer your question, I do tell the few, I tell the members of our community, like, listen, like, it's about your work, not your win. So they'll say, hey, look, I have 10 more pounds to lose. And then I'm gonna pick up a blade tee and I'm gonna wear that. And I'm like, wait, 10 more? How many have you lost? Oh, 70. Yeah. Okay, wait, you're one of the few. It's about the work, not the win.
Right.
So gear up, you know, and a matter of fact, it's on me, you know, to celebrate that, you know, your weight loss journey.
Right.
But you hit the nail on the head. And it's been there since day one. There's an unspoken accountability. When you wear Fuel Hunt, you know You have to carry yourself differently. You have to perform differently because you're being watched. And not by everybody else, but by the few. There is a person that's in your state or in your city that put on that same shirt and they showed up and they showed out and they're putting out and you must do the same.
It's a personal responsibility thing. I, like the last thing in the world I want to think of myself as is a fraud. So no matter what I'm doing, even when I'm not wearing the gear, right? I show up as who I say I am.
Yeah.
And when I'm wearing your gear, I understand that there is a level of standard that you guys are upholding as a community. And so when I'm putting that shirt on, I feel as though in a way I'm representing you. And so now if somebody sees me going soft, taking the easy way out, whatever it is, they're going to identify your brand as just a regular, normal brand. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, then we'll be, you know, we'll be Nike. I mean, and to a certain degree, like, this is the way I look at it, right? When somebody wakes up in the morning and they put on Nike, the last thing they're thinking about is there's somebody in my city or state that's putting the same shirt on, that's living by these standards, and I'm going to show up because I'm accountable to those standards as well. What they're thinking is, I put this on, it's socially acceptable, it's cool, and professional athletes wear it. Like, there's no, they're completely different things.
Yeah.
You know, and we recognize that from the beginning, and that's why, you know, we built the community that we did.
Well, so
this is what we wanted. This is the goal.
I want to hear about the beginning, because this is, like, this is not something that, at least I don't believe, you could start and then be like, oh, guys, hey, we're going to go back in time. We actually work hard around here. So how did you do that from the beginning?
Yeah, so we worked hard. It's been a long journey, right? It's been a long journey. We started in Rumblings of Fuel Hunt in 2016.
Okay.
Right? Actual formation of Fuel Hunt the Community in 2017. And notice what I said, Fuel Hunt the Community, because there's no fucking clothing. I'm sorry, can I curse on your show? Yes?
I hope so.
So I did. no clothing, right? Just community. And what we were doing was in long form content, blog posts, Instagram posts, we were putting out messages about the work, what it felt like to do hard work, what it felt like to try to build something great, right? To an extent, what it felt like to be alone on that journey. Right. And not from a victim standpoint, like, woe is me, I'm working hard and nobody's working hard with me. Just the reality of the fact that when you have high standards, a lot of the work that you do is going to be in silence, in the darkness, and alone. So we started putting that content out there, and that's how we started building the community. It wasn't until 2019 that the community started to say, oh, prefer pain, like, well, comfort is a slow death. We want this on apparel so we can represent who we are as a community and what we're doing. That's when clothing came into the mix, you know. So from the very beginning, it was even before clothing, it was very difficult. It's difficult to build an authentic community. You have to be that person, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, oh, I'm going to build a community of hard workers, and really in the back of your mind you're thinking, because one day there's going to be a payday for me,
right?
Like, you have to have that mission from the gate.
Yeah, when Joey and I first started rumbling or talking about it, he was somewhat of a mentor or confidant for me, and we had already both experienced success in our business lives, I mean, that we worked together in. And he said to me on the phone one day, he's like, it's like, everybody's, like we say, everybody wants to eat, but few will hunt. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say, dude? Like, I was like, that's fuck, because I was in sales, as you know, and I was like, that gets me fucking gassed up, dude. Like, I got to put that on a shirt ASAP.
Yeah.
And I printed, like, 12 of these shirts, like, we did like a whack shirt and printed 12 of them, and then we just like had them, right? Me and Joe, we were wearing them, giving them to our uncles, like, and then we started, we were like, all right, like, we gotta find other people that think like this. And then we were toiling, like, we would spend over a day writing these blog posts, like, and these Instagram posts, like, we would just like back and forth, like, making sure they were like so perfect, and we would post them and get one like to our, with our 100 followers.
We've all been there.
And like, I was like, damn, we're fucking working so hard, like, to do this. And then we,
like, where are people at? Like, we thought that it was like, you know, build it and they will come type thing, you know, post a couple times. It took a while.
So we kept grinding and kept posting. And then one day we were like, oh, like, let's post this shirt that we have that we made a year ago. And like we posted it and people were buying it. And they're like, oh, we didn't know you even had this. And like, it was basically buried on our site too. Like there was like, and we're like, oh shit, if we want people to buy something, we have to tell them about it.
There was no selling environment. Like it was literally all like, hey, this is who you are. This is who we are. We work hard. This is our identity. Let's band together. Let's make a change.
Well, society. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There's making a shirt and selling it, right? And then there's adopting the mindset of, oh, people would rather buy from us than just consume our content. Mm-hmm. Because there, and I love that you guys recognize that. There's this toxic, I don't know, fear or allergy to money, to asking, to putting an offer out there and letting people pay you for it and being proud. I want to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I want to make a lot of money doing things that make other people happy, that inspire other people. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating to me is that you guys started getting more attention, more love when you finally started selling, because a sale isn't actually an ask, it's an offer. It's a welcoming into our world.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool.
Yeah, really, really well. Really well said. Really well said. Yeah. And there was such a hard correlation because we had pure intentions, whether we were making an offer and selling something or we were just giving of our content for free. Like they're correlated together. It was the same value that they were receiving. You know, an affirmation of identity and the fact that they weren't alone. Like there's other people out there. We glazed over how that conversation started. Yeah. It started because we were seeing trends in society. You know, we were seeing shortcut seeking, right? We were seeing victim mentality. We were seeing entitlement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's really what sparked the beginning of the community combating all of that. And it just so happens that hard work's the antidote, you know, to those things.
Surprise, surprise,
motherfucker. The reason I feel like it all worked out is that we were, so like one of our core values is to get give, right? Like give first. And we were always like, literally we're like, all right, let's just pour so much value into these people that are following us and engaging with our content that like there's no way we can lose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we've stuck true to that. But I was in sales previously, and to your point, like, if you're selling something you truly believe in, there's no hard feelings in selling. You're not like, you're not worried about what people are going to perceive you as, because you know that what you're selling is the solution to their problem.
And it's going to add value to their
Correct.
Life.
And so like when we're telling you to come by Fuel Hunt, like I don't feel sorry. I'm not like, oh, like I shouldn't be pitching my product, because I know if you're one of us, you'll enjoy it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just had a conversation. Your example was when I put on Fuel Hunt, right? I know I have to live to this standard.
Yep.
So again, there's a correlation. It's all about identity. And we never, I wish I could say that we had some master plan of like give, and then drop the bomb where it's like make all these offers type thing. It was never like that. It was like, how can we wrap each and every community member in so much value that they grow and they improve their lives?
Well, that's why I wanted to partner Active Life with you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and for the record, every single engagement I've had with either one of you in every environment has been exactly what you just described. So I'll give some backstory here. The first time Drew and I met, Drew owned a women's only fitness club.
Yeah.
And he was selling like merchandise that I could buy and put my logo on.
Yeah.
And he hooked me up with a bunch of, like, I don't know what you call them, the cups, like you know, the stainless steel cup that keeps your stuff cold.
Sure.
And he crushed it.
Yeah.
Crushed it. And I didn't know him, and he wasn't making a ton of money on it. It was like an order of 100 cups or whatever it was. It was like
slim margins too with you. I know.
I'm sure. Hey, listen, I gotta get mine, you know? I work hard. Hard work, bro. Then I find out you're the Fuel Hunt guy, right? You're one of the Fuel Hunt guys. I come see you guys in the city, and we talk about. I'm like, I want to brand Active Life with Fuel Hunt on a shirt, because your audience is exactly who we want to be working with. Because what we do is so hard.
Yeah,
it's so hard, and it takes a very special kind of person to do it. To not complain about the work, to be successful, and then to go out into the world and tell people that they have this option.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys have that audience. And when I brought it up to you, you were like, yeah, well, let's do it. Let's throw it on a shirt. Well, you tell me what you want to do. We'll get it done.
Yep.
I was like, well, what can I do for you? And you said, we're just going to give first and we'll see where things go. So mm-hmm. I just want to let everyone know that everything you just said is 100% true.
I think, nowadays people miss the fact that when you're building something, you have to be what it is. Like mm-hmm. you have to be the brand.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even use the word brand to describe Fuel Hunt. I use the word bond, mm-hmm. you know, which shouldn't surprise either of you, but you've got to be it. You've got to live it. You know, people can feel that. That's mm-hmm. why when you put on a Fuel Hunt t-shirt, you feel that energy because you know, not only the rest of the community, but the people behind it are living that mm-hmm. standard, yeah. you know, that identity.
Well, it's the people who, for me, the community is one thing. I want to honor the guys who made it. You guys put effort into the design, effort into the language, effort into the photos that you took. You have a certain tone of color and attitude that comes across mm-hmm. in the photos that exemplifies an identity. And for me to wear it and then just disrespect it is disrespectful to you guys. Mm-hmm. So I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I want, you know, I was recently to echo what you were just describing. I went to an event this weekend for my friend Gabrielle Lyon. It's called the Forever Strong Summit. Mm-hmm. I wasn't speaking. I wasn't on a panel. My whole thought was like, I'm going to go attend and I'm just going to try to make this event better for everybody who's there so that Gabrielle gets top reviews. Mm. Not about me. They're not going to mm-hmm. write, this guy, Sean, and I met. They're just going to write, this event was amazing. Yeah. And I got more opportunity from that
yep.
than I've ever gotten from anything else. And I had no intention to get opportunity from it.
Yep. You hit on a lot of things there. But one of the rules of the Fuel is to get give. One of our core values as a company, Fuel Hunt the company, is we give first, mm-hmm. right? And we always talk about that. When you give with pure intention, you receive mm-hmm. 10x.
Yeah.
You know, the people that fuck up with giving are the ones that in the back of their mind, they say, mm-hmm. well, I'm going to make this event the best because it's going to help my book of business mm-hmm. or it's going to help. But when you give with pure intention, you can't lose.
Yeah. Right.
You really can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've done since day one. So,
well, the funny thing about that is for a while, I was doing what you just described,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I was trying to give, always with the what's going to come back. When does yeah. this come back to mm-hmm. me? And so what happened was I wasn't actually able to give enough. I thought I was.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was, but I wasn't able to give enough.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that didn't come back. And everyone always understood there's an underlying, he's waiting for something else. So I can't even take what yeah. he's trying to give
yeah.
Because I can't guarantee I'm going to reciprocate.
Yes.
And
yes.
so one of the things I try to tell anybody young coming up right now, not to say that I'm old, but someone newer in the industry is you have an expectation and everybody can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose the expectation, you'll have the opportunity to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was very well said. And it's the law of reciprocity, like the universe knows, like it knows that you're waiting. And it's very easy when you're getting started in anything to get to retract, right? Like we're like we probably sound so fucking crazy. Like, hey, when you're coming up, give everything away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's like, well, that's what you need to do to yep. build goodwill and essentially show everybody like, hey, I'm a good person. That's someone you should be working with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because without that, like people wouldn't believe in what we were doing to this day.
Yep.
Well, what I love about what you just said is you went into the woo-woo a little bit. Right? The universe knows. And it's like, well, hold on a second. I'm supposed to trust hard work. I'm going to prefer pain. And I'm waiting on the universe.
Yeah.
And I love that you were able to bring those two things together because yeah. it's true.
It is.
Right? It's like you trust hard work because the world understands hard work is where results live. Yep. You prefer the pain because you understand that on the other side of pain is all the bliss that you want. You can't get there without the pain.
Yep.
And so you become addicted to the chase because of what you get from it.
Yep.
And by the way, sometimes you don't get anything that you wanted.
Many times.
You just get the pain.
Many times.
So let's go to that because you made a post recently and I was just like, oh, God, this guy's singing to my soul.
Yep.
It was something along the lines of, you know, 99% of the time, it's a shit sandwich. And then 1% of the time, good stuff happens. And you're an entrepreneur for the 1% of the time.
Absolutely.
And it made me feel at home because when you're running your own company, people ask you from the outside, the number one question is what? How are things going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the answer I want to give is like, How much do you really want to know?
Yeah. How much? I always say, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
Or I say, good. Either right. one. If I'm not going to get into it, but I say, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
You
know it's, I mean? But it's just a bad question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bad question because if you've ever owned a business, mm-hmm. something is going poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the only thing you're able to think about is the thing that's going poorly,
yeah.
no matter what we do. So talk about yeah. that.
Yeah, we actually did an episode of the Thiel Hunt Show, The Truth About Entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship, and this isn't a new thing, it's been glorified. It's been glorified probably since, I don't know, maybe early 2000s, mm-hmm. started becoming glorified.
Gary Vee took it to another level.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was a, and this is what I said on the show, it was a solution, but I believe that entrepreneurship is a problem. It's the biggest fucking problem that you will introduce into your life ever,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because 90% of the time you are treading water.
Mm-hmm.
9% of the time you are drowning mm-hmm. in said water. 1% of the time you are walking on the water.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah. it's that 1% that makes it absolutely magical because that's when you see the impact,
mm-hmm.
you know? The impact of your big mission, mm-hmm. whether it's a client, right, that mm-hmm. now returns to what they love to do pain-free in your world, or in our world, well, kind of the same thing, actually. Yeah. You know, someone that returns back to training after recovering from an injury that was difficult on them mentally and physically, someone on a weight loss journey, someone that's now a doctor, got their doctorate, someone that started a family, bought their first home.
Going through divorce, recovering from alcoholism.
Yep, like anything. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we have, run, our examples in the Fuel On community run the gamut.
Right.
You know?
To 1%. That point, the most powerful, I'm in the DMs like every day, and I'm just like, the most powerful one we got was like you saved me. Like, this person was going to, like, told me the story that were committing suicide, like, the day before they reading one of our posts. And it was
Loaded
like,
38. Yeah. Loaded 38 special.
Go on.
Yeah. We just got into the deeper talks of the situation, but like he just thanked us like profusely for like saving his life, and I was like, wow, like
he emailed in and he said that this week was his last week, literally. That's what he said. This is my last week to get it all right, which is crazy that he was trying to write like his personal stuff, his professional stuff, his family stuff. I'm going to give myself this week, right? Saturday is the day. If I don't get it all straight by Saturday, I got my loaded 38. Ready for me. He saw Thursday's post. So we were in at the wire. Like, that's too close for comfort for me, mm-hmm. Thursday to Saturday. And he saw that post on Thursday, and he was like, look, like, number one, I'm putting too much pressure on myself. This is unrealistic for me to write my life in a week. Number two, I can do this. Like, he literally believed it. I can do this. And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, you can.
What was the post?
You know, what was the post?
I have no idea.
I forget the actual.
Well, that's the crazy thing, right? Because it's like you guys probably wrote that post like, this is good. This represents us, and threw it out.
Yep.
And didn't think anything beyond that of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy's like, you saved my life with an Instagram post.
Wild. Yeah. Wild, right?
And
we're, you know, look, man, like, I don't want it to sound like we're coming down from the mountain. Like, we're putting stuff out on social media that's like.
You're not.
But. You know, it's the 1%. That's the best way I can explain it. It's the 1%.
I was going to say, too, about the post. Like, it's. Everyone has that power within them to write the words that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Joey and I just take the time to reflect on our scars and our stories that practice creative writing that allows us to tell them in a different way that resonate with people.
That's going
to
hit you. Yeah. You know, it's going to hit you and wake you up.
Well, and I think you said something important there that I want people to hear. Everybody has it in them to do it. That doesn't mean you can do it today.
Yeah.
It means you have it in you. To get better than you are today, to be able to do what you're doing eventually. And for some people, that's going to be fast. And for some people, that's going to be much slower. I forget who it was this weekend who said it, but it was really smart. It was the idea of find yourself a mentor you'll never catch.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself a mentor you'll never catch. And what that was intended to be was you find someone you want to get help from.
Yep.
And then that person is going to keep improving. Because that's who you want to mentor you,
mm-hmm.
yep. not somebody who isn't going to keep improving. So you're never going to catch them.
Exactly. Yep. Another core value of Fuel Hunt, never peak.
Yep.
So that's one of our, we never peak. It's one mm-hmm. of our core values as a company.
Right.
Right. It appears in Rules of the Few, but one of our core values as a company, because that's what we want. Like, we want continual growth to the grave,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I love that. You guys are in the middle of something really interesting, and we are too. And I think everybody hits it, and then they have to decide what to do with it. And that's the aim for scale. right? The attempt to grow to something bigger. For people who've never been an entrepreneur before, what I want to explain is there's a moment in time when you're hitting profitable revenues to the point that you can live a certain kind of lifestyle that you couldn't live before, but you can't grow. So you're making a decision of, okay, if we want to grow, I got to either, in your case, order a bunch more inventory, step up marketing, I imagine, bring on more staff. In our case, it's similar, just no inventory. Mm-hmm. And that cuts into all of the profit, if not beyond that, just for the chance you can keep growing. And I used to watch movies and be like, why didn't the drug dealer just stop?
Yeah.
Right. Like, you were doing fine, bro. Yeah. Then you had to.
It's like, Tony, ship it to Canada. Tony, yeah. Did you need the tiger?
Exactly.
Like, did you need the tiger?
Exactly. Yeah. So talk about the difficulties of aiming for scale when you already have something good, and it's like, all right, well, we're going for something epic.
Yep. I think first and foremost, who would we be if we rested on our laurels? Like, we are asking our community to take a pledge of growth to the grave, personally, right? In their lives. Who would we be if we reached a pinnacle as a company and said, this is good enough? You're still not good enough, just like our post said the other day. So again, it goes back to my comment of, you know, being the bond, being the brand. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Like, there's never a moment where I say to Drew, hey, we're doing pretty well. Let's just hang here for a moment. Like, and there's also never a moment where I say, hey, we can't hang here. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're both in lockstep. Like, we know we're just going to take it to the moon. And then once we're on the moon, you know, look out.
Weather planets.
And right. Decide where we're going to head next. Like, that's the way it's going to go.
It's not even like a question. It's like, because like we embody the Kaizen approach of like every day better. So it's like, what's next? It's always, and that might be a fault. And it might make our lives harder, but that's just the way we choose to live.
Yep.
And to comment on your entrepreneurship statement was like a quote. I didn't. This is not a Drew B original quote, but it's like everybody has dreams, but few will actually achieve them because they run out of time or money before they do. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that sticks with us the most is like when you're starting your entrepreneurial journey, like that is 1,000% a true statement.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake, and I've made it and kind of edited my mindset. To have the dream be an outcome.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So my dream now is a life of freedom without compromise. Mm-hmm. And that's our mission statement. Mm-hmm. And so why that? Because, well, I get to wake up every day and live my dream.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And would I like to expand my opportunities? Of course I would. But if I can keep going, like it used to be really hard the way that you were just describing, and it's still hard, but I mean mentally. Like, when am I going to get there? When am I going to get there? Yeah. You know when it clicked into place?
When you were there.
No.
You realized.
I was on a hike in Arizona with my wife, Sedona, Arizona.
Yep. Yeah. Beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're hiking to a place called Devil's Bridge.
Yeah.
And we get to the top. I'm like, all right. Overhyped. And then we start walking back down. And person after person after person was asking, hey, how long till we're there? How long till we're there? How long till we're there? Until finally I stopped somebody. And I was like, hey. I need you to turn around for a second. Yeah. You see that? And they're like, oh yeah, it's a really good view. And it's this huge vista of like a valley that you wouldn't turn around to look at until you're coming back down. And I said, look, that's a better view than what you're gonna see at the top.
Yep.
You're already there.
Yeah.
And
so powerful.
I looked at him like, stop doing that in your business.
Yep.
Or in life too, right? Like that's, yes. We get hit with memories from the basement or from our Flawless 1.0, like our first gym. Now we're in like a 5,000 square foot facility, but like we were our 1,000 square foot box.
Dope,
like,
by the way. This place is so cool.
Yeah, like, it smells like good. And I comp like all our friends, like I specifically Nikki Rod, a professional grappling athlete.
Gordon Ryan's foot.
Yeah, one of our athletes and friend of ours. He told the story on his podcast the other day about like how he was like grinding every day, like traveling to and from New York, living on like friends' apartment, like floors. And I commented, and I was like, the dream, like that is the dream. Like, this is the dream. Like what we're doing every day, waking up and having the opportunity to chase your dreams is the dream. So
yeah, joy's in the hunt, not the feast.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is though, and this is where I think you and me and any entrepreneur who's like, who understands this is the grind I chose and enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think people can miss something very important when we talk about it this way. And that is that there has to be an intentional collection of skill development that goes along. You don't get to just work hard and not develop, right? You guys were talking on our break about copywriting. So I would love for you to use that as an example of it's not just grinding away doing the same thing, and share with people what you learned and how you learned it to get better at that.
Yeah, skill development. This is where people bastardize the work harder, work smarter thing, at least in my mind, right? Because they assume that working smarter comes with less effort. But that's not the case. The smarter for me is the continual development of skill. And then once you're more skilled, you apply those skills harder and you work harder, and that, you know, that's how you grow. For me, copywriting, I was always a creative writer as a kid. I really enjoy writing. But our 1.0 posts, or can we say negative 0.5 posts or whatever for Fuel Hunt, were very cliche. They weren't powerful. They weren't hitting people in the feels like they do now. They weren't as relatable. The skill of copywriting helped me do that, and you too, right? So if there's one skill that I've really honed since 2016, 2017 until now, it's copywriting. And I literally live and breathe it, literally.
Well, it allows you to actually say what you want to say.
Writing to me is very therapeutic, not just for the writer, but the reader. So I know that if I can get my words out on paper or screen in a way that I bleed onto the paper, the reader will understand that they're bleeding for a purpose too, you know? So I started with Joe Sugarman. He's like an OG. I don't know. Are you familiar with copywriting?
Okay. I mean, I'm familiar with copywriting, but I want to hear this, because the way I typically do these kinds of things is a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, so I started off with Joe Sugarman, and he wrote Ad Copy Review.
That was the one that I
think
read,
it was Ad Copy. That's the one that I had recommended to you. And we're talking about old school ad writing, you know, like in newspapers, basically, right? And
Which is what we're back to now, by the way.
And I used to hand copy, you know, some of his like sales letters and some of the ads that he wrote, and really understand how he helped people imagine the experience that they would have if they had this thing, or they took this trip, or whatever. How he really communicated in words feeling.
I'm going to get that book immediately.
Yeah, and I started there. Absolute OG. And I'm funny, man. Like, there's a lot of great resources out there, and there's a lot of great copywriters and people. But I'm funny, man, with my attention. I keep it very like focused and narrow. So Joe Sugarman, I'll give you another name, Chris Orzechowski, and he is a Jersey guy in the game right now. You know, Joe isn't anymore. In the game right now, I'm part of his one of his programs, and he's phenomenal. So he's another great guy to follow. And then Bedros. You know, Bedros is another huge inspiration. And they're kind of like the, and they're kind of, you know, they're the three people that I look to when it comes to honing skill and being able to bleed onto the page.
Yeah. There is a book that I use, and I'm going through again now, but it's like 365 days of writing, creative writing prompts. And it's like, I have all kind of crazy shit in there. And like one day was like, write two paragraphs or for 10 minutes about an orange. So I just set like a timer for 10 minutes, like describe an orange. You know what I mean? So like hard work like that, that like isn't truly comfortable, or you may not feel it's worth your time, but it's like, a good resource for.
Yeah, when I first read Joe's book, like I went back to some of the posts that, dude, bro, it used to take me like 2 days to write a post. You know what I mean? And they sucked. Well, in my opinion, they did. Like back in the day, like I read Joe's stuff and I was like, oh my God. Like I'm a systematic thinker. I build software for a living. I think in systems. But yet, when I'm writing these posts, I'm just like all over the place, you know?
And the 2 days for posts, like, you know, from a business standpoint, which is not good for.
No way, dude.
You have an interesting blend, though. Not a lot of people who are into tech like that are also into the art.
Yeah, I'm science and art are my thing.
Yeah, typically science or art.
He looks at science as an art, which is
Thank you.
I'm curious about your avatar for the brand icons. So, for example, I'm looking around this room. You got fighters everywhere. I don't actually know who that is.
Bodybuilder.
Okay, fighters, bodybuilders, athletes. Let Let me tell you how to run your company for a second.
Let's do it.
Entrepreneurs, man.
Yeah.
Why aren't there entrepreneurs repping your stuff everywhere?
There are, actually. Unfortunately, like, we don't.
In the imagery.
Well, I mean, Bezos is the OG on
it. So let me back up. I know they're wearing it. I wear it. I'm an entrepreneur. I wouldn't know how to work for somebody.
This is such a funny. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay that you did it. I'm here to interview you.
when we started this, like, Joey and I are entrepreneurs by nature. Like, we are big. The first person we were writing to was an entrepreneur. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, entrepreneurs are going to wear entrepreneurs.
It's the journey.
Yeah. And salesmen. Like, this is who this is for. Yeah. They're going to buy all this. I mean, this is how we're going to create this great global community. But real, and then it started popping up in like garage gyms and CrossFit gyms. And we're like, oh, like this, like, isn't necessarily what we set out for, but like, let's embrace it. Because mm-hmm. realistically, our days start in the gym, and most likely everyone who is an entrepreneur or works hard, they start their day in the gym. Mm-hmm.
That's what Stanley Cup just did.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So we had a very, in the inception, we had a narrower avatar, mm-hmm. but then it widened actually. So right. our avatar or our community member, what they're about is wider than what most people would probably expect. It's only three things, but it's very wide. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean it's only three things?
So three characteristics.
Okay.
You know, and you can put any community member through this test. You can put yourself, you know, through the test. There's three things that every community member of Fuel Hunt has in common. They're in the gym at some point. Number one, first mm-hmm. and foremost. They have a growth mindset. Second thing. Third thing is, they've gone through some shit mm-hmm. in life, voluntarily or involuntarily. They could be an entrepreneur who's chosen these circumstances and challenges, or they could have a childhood wound mm-hmm. or, you know,
an adult wound.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So those three things embody what an eagle is in the community. So when you speak about avatar, they're the three, you know, characteristics, and we're them too. Same three things.
I love it. I fucking love your brand, guys.
Yeah. But we'll
love you back, dude.
We do.
We love you back. You.
We do appreciate the tip. We'll get more content. Yeah. Entrepreneurs. Well, just
bring me in. I'll run the
company.
That's what I need. That's what you need. You need some idiot telling you how to do stuff when I haven't been able to print a t-shirt and sell it.
We are forever students. We are forever students.
Lifelong learners. White belt mentality all day, every day.
I love it. Yeah. I love being here. I'm thinking about moving my company to Philly.
We're still growing into the space. We have 10,000 square feet, so, you know.
I can see a little spot for you over there.
I'm trying to get kicked out. Plus, I talk a lot. I'm talking all day. Anything I didn't ask you guys about that you think would be valuable for the audience to know?
Where to find us.
Okay. Yeah, where to find us. And you can find us on Instagram, mm-hmm. At Fuel Hunt. You can find us at fuelhunt.com. And they're the jump-off points. Pretty much everything is there. On the website, you'll find all of our Made in the USA. Very proud of that transition this year.
Can we just spend 2 minutes talking about that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Like, our mission, I've said over and over again, is a life of freedom without compromise. Mm-hmm. What that means is not, I don't want Chinese food for dinner tonight, but my wife does, so okay, I'll compromise and get Chinese food. Like, the vision, the mission, the values is what I'm not going to compromise on. I want a phenomenal relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. And so if she wants Chinese food tonight and it doesn't offend me, I'm going to get Chinese food tonight because the greater goal is my wife.
Sure, sure.
When you told me that you guys moved everything from a variety of different sources to completely Made in the USA, every single bit of it. The first thing that popped through my mind is these guys don't compromise.
Yep.
And I thought that was awesome. So can you share with me why? Because I know that's harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's way harder. It's way harder. Nowadays.
Which is crazy, by
the
way.
This is a hot take, but nowadays, if you're going to start an apparel brand, it's relatively simple to do. Mm-hmm. Simple, not easy.
Right.
But simple to do with overseas product, because overseas there is child labor. Mm-hmm. And there's forced labor, and you can get anything you want in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, here we live by a different standard, different values. Things take longer. They're more expensive. So it's definitely harder. But we believe it's the right move, not just for our community, but for our country.
Yeah, man.
You know, this building right here that we're in, HQ, was a textile facility dyeing and spooling yarn here for almost 140 years until it went overseas. So the way we look at it is, we're not only restoring the dignity of hard work, but we're restoring that too. We're restoring American manufacturing.
Just gave me the chills. It's like a poem. This left to go over there, and you guys are standing for a culture that you want to embody. So you're bringing the exact thing in a lot of ways that left right back to the same space.
And the part that's so funny and triggering, for lack of a better word, to us is that a lot of our competitors and people out there saying that they're American companies have made in China on their neck tags, right?
Assembled in the USA. Yeah. We put it in a box in the USA. Yeah.
There are loopholes.
Same thing with meat. I don't know. We don't need to get into that, but
there's there's.
Please don't.
I'll be another hour. Drew will go an hour on that one.
So what was I saying about the neck tags?
But yeah, that's earned. Like for us, we have an emotional attachment to that neck tag. Yeah. Like that is an earned neck tag that says made in the USA. Mm-hmm. And I don't think everybody gets how hard that was.
You should add every fucking stitch.
And one part that has been extremely difficult to elaborate on that is we've had to take down some of our best sellers. Like our gear bag that wasn't made overseas, that was our best selling product last year. We literally are still trying to find ways to manufacture that bag in the United States because we can't sell it for the price we used to sell it at and get it made here. Right. So, and people wonder why it's been difficult also we had to raise prices a little bit to move manufacturing here. But
it's a high quality product, lasts a long time. Before we started the show, I told you, I'll take you into the back corner of HQ.
Let me do it. Let me vouch for you then. Because I asked you guys off air, so what are you going to do? Run like a clearance with the old stuff? And you're like, we're going to donate it. Mm-hmm. That's money that you guys are just throwing through paper shredder because it doesn't represent the values that you want to uphold. Yep. Nobody would give you a hard time about putting foreign stuff on clearance and selling it. But you guys know when you put that shirt on, you're representing something and you can't live a different way.
Who would we be if we did that? That's the way we wouldn't be living to the standard that we ask our community to live to, the standard we live to. Yeah. So you go in that back corner, man, there's some beautiful polo shirts back there. Yeah. But they're going to be donated because it's just not who we are now. And when we were talking about scale, and the challenges, intentionally standing up challenges in front of us, cutting over to 100% made in the USA was a huge challenge. It would have been helpful to do some clearance with some products that were sourced from elsewhere, but we ripped off the fucking Band-Aid.
We dove right in. We're bad. As people, like, we're the big rip off the Band-Aid.
I got some wounds.
You
can see the scars. I'll tell you the stories of scars, not the stories of open wounds, but that one's a scar now. Yeah. I'm not going to do it here because it would be a long thing. But what I want people to know is one of the reasons that I'm out here, obviously we talked about this, is that we're partnering up on a t-shirt.
We are.
I'm super stoked about it because our audience, our community at Active Life has been asking, where's the gear? 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 And I'm like, yo, you don't know how hard it is to actually stand up a legit apparel shop that I don't have to be in the back putting stuff in boxes and making sure it's going out to the right place. So I want to thank you guys for giving our Active Life community the opportunity to wear something with our brand on it that's also going to have yours, so they have a double standard they need to hold when they put it on their backs. And if you're listening to this, make sure you grab a piece.
Yeah.
Make sure you grab one.
I love that. So well said. I almost don't have to add anything, but thank you. Thank you for trusting us with that, because just like you are trusting, we're trusting you, you're trusting us, and our communities are so similar. Mm-hmm. They live by the rules of the few, you know what I mean? So we're very grateful for the opportunity too. And it's a banger, for the record, of a tee.
Hell yeah.
It's a banger that really embodies what Fuel Hunt is, what Active Life is, and what freedom without compromise is.
Yeah.
100%.
All right. Thanks, next turn, bro.
Let's get it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Active Life podcast. Please remember, give us a hand, rate it, review it wherever you listen to shows. We are on a mission to humanize the healthcare industry by professionalizing the fitness industry to empower the individual to live a life unlimited by the way that their body looks, feels, or performs. If you are inspired by that mission and want to jump on the wagon, find us anywhere. Active Life Professional on Instagram, Active Life RX on Instagram. Come to me personally at Dr. Sean Pestuch. We want to welcome you onto the train. We want you to be a part of the mission. We want to offer you the opportunity to pursue this right alongside us. We're inspired by your effort, and we hope to help you in your journey. Turn back.